Hey, and welcome to Sunday Replay. My name is Jace. We are thrilled you're with us this week, and I hope that after last week's worship episode, you're just feeling so refreshed and connected with God. And if you haven't heard that episode yet, you can check it out wherever you're listening to this episode of Sunday Replay. You can just go one episode back in your feed, and it should be there. It was our Soul Food Sunday special episode. But for this week, here's Pastor Mark continuing our sermon series called Good News.
Happy Sunday! Yes, indeed, everyone. It is an awesome day here at Harmony. I see all of you here in person. We're saying hello to everyone online as well. And to our listeners of the Sunday Replay podcast, we greet you. And so this current sermon series is called The Gospel of Mark. It's good news. And I am so excited about this current sermon series. And, you know, maybe it's because it's the teacher in me. I sort of geek out over it, and because we get to delve into the Word, but not only the Word, it's the teachings of Jesus, and they are as relevant today as they were back then, and in a way, that is totally mind-boggling. I mean, if you think about it, the gospel accounts, they were written almost 2,000 years ago, and that's sort of like, whoa. But on top of that, if you think about the books in the Old Testament, they were even further, and it's just, it's these messages and the themes of the Bible, they are so timeless. I was thinking it's sort of like a ripple effect. As a kid, I loved to take a smooth rock and throw it along the pond or the lake, and it would skip, pop, 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 and the ripples would just take effect. And I sort of look at it that way, is that the Word, as inspired by God, it resonates regardless of the wind. And this is one of the reasons why during this Lenten season we're encouraging everyone, read the gospel according to Mark. It's only 16 chapters long. And so within these engaging chapters, there are such great stories. They're notable, and the teachings, they speak directly to us about our own experiences, about our own struggles that are offering us. It is offering us guidance. But on top of the guidance, we are receiving comfort as well as inspiration. How cool is that, right? And so are you ready to dig into Mark's gospel today? Yes, all right, here we go. This morning's message is Love Liberates, the Gospel of Freedom. And it centers on the scripture passage that comes from Mark, and it's chapter 7, and it's verses 1 through 8, and then we have 14 and 15, as well as 21 through 23. And as we look at this text, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to analyze the context within it, as well as a historical background, because what this is going to do is help us uncover its intended meanings and implications. And believe you me, there are implications. So we begin with the first three verses. And they say, the Pharisees and some legal experts from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, and they saw some of his disciples eating food with unclean hands. They were eating without first ritually purifying their hands through washing. And the Pharisees and all the Jews don't eat without first washing their hands carefully. This is a way of observing the rules handed down by the elders. Those Pharisees, these are Mark's go-to stock villains. That is until we get to Holy Week. And it's as though every time we see or we hear Pharisees, it's like, I feel like there's some melodramatic boo about to come from the crowd. Boo! Right, don't do that, please. All right. So, but because I don't want us to lump some the Pharisees as being a horrible religious group within Judaism during the time of Jerusalem, during Jesus. Because look, there are some Pharisees, they're showing interest. They showed interest in what Jesus was saying and teaching. Yeah, sure, they were strict. They were strict in their adherence to religious laws, traditions, and interpretations of Scripture. Yet these popular and influential teachers were also respected. They were respected as authorities on matters of Jewish law as well as practice. To the Pharisees and to the scribes, legal experts, by following the tradition of the elders, rules and regulations were the essence of religion. To observe these rules and regulations, you know what? That was to please God. To break those rules and regulations? That was sin. And I want to highlight this by following the tradition of the elders. What does that exactly mean? Well, what it does is it refers to what was known as oral tradition. You see, in the 4th and 5th centuries before Christ, there came into being a class of legal experts known as the scribes. And out of the first 5 books of the Old Testament, they came a series of great moral principles, although these legal experts, they weren't content with that. Now, they wanted a deeper definition. So what they did was they developed and they issued thousands upon thousands of these rules and regulations governing every possible action and every possible life situation. And at that time, it was done verbally. It wasn't put down in written form, hence following the tradition of the elders. Well, now, say the least, these rules and regulations as interpreted by the Pharisees could be challenging. I'll give you an example, something I saw. On the Sabbath, if you wanted to light a fire for the purpose of illumination or cooking or heating, that was forbidden, typically. There was another example I saw, and I want you to visualize a piece of pottery, and it's a hollow vessel. Now, it didn't matter what or who touched it on the outside, but what did matter was the who or what touched it on the inside of the pottery. If it became unclean inside, as interpreted by the Pharisees, this now tainted pottery had to be broken. But not just broken, it had to be broken into tiny pieces. And tiny is defined in such a way that the unbroken piece, oh man, this is crazy. It had to be the size that could only hold enough oil to anoint your little toe. That's tiny. Now, you think this was tough to follow all these rules and regulations? Yeah. Complete adherence with all of these rules and regulations, that would have been exceptionally difficult. I could see myself going, sorry, Jesus, and sorry, God, it's just not going to happen today. It's going to be impossible to practice. So, what was this thing about the Pharisees about washing your hands before eating? This week, I was thinking about that, and I thought of my mother. Boy, she was a stickler about washing your hands before eating a meal. Even if you had already done it, she was going to double check. Even at my age, she was going to double check, right? And folks, that happened all the way up until the day she died. It's no joke. I can still hear her voice asking that from the heavenly realm. Okay, but what was the deal with the Pharisees? Did they have some kind of obsessive compulsive behavior going on? No, for theirs was a concern about sanctity. Their issue of hand washing, it was about symbolism. It wasn't about hygiene. They were asking a question that basically said, don't you see yourself as part of the holy nation? Well, then you got to follow the rules and regulations. This practice among all of these thousands of observances was the means in which the Jews preserved their identity despite exile, despite being ruled by a succession of non-Jewish governments, Babylon, Persia, Greece, pagan Rome, and so on. One's hands had to be washed, and they had to be washed in a very specific way. To fail to do this in Jewish eyes, you weren't guilty of bad manners, and it wasn't considered to be dirty in the sense of one's health, but it was considered to be unclean in the sight of God. In one commentary I was reading this week, I spotted a Jewish doctrine that stated, get this, if a man neglect the washing, he shall be eradicated from this world. Yeah, right? Oh, dear. Eradicated? Come on now. And all of this leads to the question that was asked in verse 5, followed by Jesus' reply in verses 6, 7, and 8. So the Pharisees and legal experts asked Jesus, why are your disciples not living according to the rules handed down by the elders? Instead, eat food with ritually unclean hands. And he replied, Isaiah really knew what he was talking about when he prophesied about you hypocrites. He wrote, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is empty since they teach instructions that are human words. You ignore God's commandment while holding on to rules created by humans and handed down to you. Ooh, throw it down, Jesus. Here's the man from Galilee, and he goes on the offensive to protect his disciples and contest Pharisaic practice. Calling someone a hypocrite? I'd say that's pretty strong words, isn't it? Yes. On top of which, Jesus, he thereby quotes the words of the prophet Isaiah against them, and it's a laying on the line double whammy. There's Jesus, and he's calling out the Pharisees and scribes, those who were before him. And by the way, they were from Jerusalem. That's some distance away, so Jesus has already gotten on their radar. And in that calling out, he's making it very clear that legalism, it may take account of outward actions, but it does not take account of what's happening inward. In other words, one may be well meticulously serving God outwardly while disobeying bluntly the Holy One inwardly, and that, my friends, is hypocrisy. Jesus is asking us, where is your heart? Where is your heart toward God? Where is your heart toward others? What is actually happening in your heart? Our hearts. What makes us look good? Carrying out the right acts? Observing the correct laws? Church going? Bible reading? Careful financial giving? Even time-tabled prayer? What Jesus was pointing out to the religious authorities was, you might observantly be following all the rules and regulations, serving God outwardly, yet how does that line up when you have hate and greed and deceit and envy and arrogance in your heart? Verse 15 from chapter 7 states, nothing outside of a person can enter and contaminate a person in God's sight. Rather, the things that come out of a person contaminate the person. It's from the inside, from the human heart, that evil thoughts come. What defiles people are their own actions, which are the product of their own hearts. And Jesus, what he's doing is calling us out for a heart examination, to look beyond the surface and recognize that our actions are a direct reflection of our inner selves, to delve into our thoughts and emotions and beliefs and motivations to gain insight in who we are as at a deeper level, to ask ourselves heart examination questions, questions that require honesty, that require vulnerability, and require a willingness to confront uncomfortable truths. Questions for our growth rather than remaining status quo, not to remain static. Asking questions like these that I have listed. Am I actively seeking to grow spiritually and deepen my relationship with God? Or have I become complacent in my faith journey? Another question, how do I respond to difficult situations or conflicts? Do I approach them with a heart of forgiveness, understanding, and humility? Or do I harbor resentment and seek revenge? Are there traditions or customs in my life that hinder my spiritual growth or disconnect me from God's presence? Well, this third heart examination question is included, of which there are many we can ask ourselves, because Jesus is shining a light on how easy it is for us to hold on to mere human traditions as if they were gold, as if they've been divinely revealed. The concern is in this holding on, clutching the very virtues of love and compassion and mercy and grace and the good news that God has come among us as Savior, it gets lost. And in the getting lost, the sad part is our willingness to sacrifice faith in order to save tradition. When we begin to worship what gives us a sense of order, or when we bend the knee to doctrine, what we do is we cease to be faithful to our Creator. This is when we are susceptible to our hearts becoming hardened. And in the hardening of our hearts, we are in some serious danger of separating ourselves from God, as well as separating ourselves from each other. Honoring the greatest commandment to love God and to love others, it just falls flat to the floor. In Jesus' teaching, we come to understand he was exposing the hypocrisy of the outward displays of righteousness by some of the religious leaders of his time. And in so doing, he invited his followers, and he invites us too, to break free from the shackles of legalism and to embrace a God of the good news gospel of freedom that is rooted in grace. By prioritizing love and compassion over rigid rules and regulations and societal norms, by encouraging his followers to discern what truly defiles a person, Jesus proclaimed a gospel of hope and a gospel of redemption for all. So as I bring this message to a close today, and I invite Rev Jefferson to come forward to lead us in receiving the sacrament of communion, I want us to remember this message that is so profound that comes from Mark 7, verses 1 through 8, 14 and 15, and 21 through 23. In this world that is bound by judgment and tradition and self-righteousness, let's release ourselves by extending compassion and extending understanding and acceptance to ourselves, yes, to ourselves and for others. Let's strive to embody the love that Jesus exemplified, a love that transcends boundaries and it breaks down the barriers and sets hearts free, because here is when and where we experience true freedom. Siblings in Christ, let us go forth from this place empowered by the gospel of love, liberated by its transformative grace, and inspired to spread its message of good news, because it is redemptive and it is affirming all of us, but not only us, it's to all that we encounter. And may the love of God, which surpasses all understanding, guide us on our way. Amen. Amen.
It's time for the Sunday Replay Halftime Show, where every week we take just a few moments to share about opportunities that you have to engage with the faith community. First, I want to talk a little bit about Holy Week, which is coming up. It starts on Palm Sunday this year, that's March 24th, and it ends on Easter, which this year is March 31st, 7 days apart. And in those 7 days, you have some great ways that you can connect with the faith community as we remember the last week of Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and most importantly, Jesus' resurrection. So on Palm Sunday, join us at Harmony for our worship experience at 10:30 a.m. And then on Thursday, March 28th at 7 p.m., we'll be having a Maundy Thursday service. So this is the day that we remember the Last Supper, the day before Jesus' crucifixion. This is a more somber and reflective worship experience, and we only have an in-person service this year for Maundy Thursday. But the next day on Good Friday, we'll also have an in-person experience from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. at Harmony. This is a come-and-go time where our sanctuary doors will be open, a member of the pastoral staff will be present, and it's a prayer service. So you can come as you feel led and leave when you feel led, and pray and experience God on the day that we remember Jesus' crucifixion. But then on Sunday, Easter morning, we're going to have an amazing celebratory worship experience at 10:30 a.m., followed by activities and food and snacks and games and an Easter egg hunt for the whole family at noon. And so we hope that you will join us for Holy Week at Harmony. If you have any questions or want to learn more, you can contact Pastor Mark, and his email is Mark, M-A-R-K, at HollywoodUMC.org. Also, Harmony is a participant in the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry, and we are looking for volunteers who can get involved. There are a few different opportunities on different days of the week and at different times, but if you want to learn more or you're looking to get involved with this ministry that reaches out to our neighbors who just need food, who need some support and something to eat, you can contact our meditation ministry director, Rev Jefferson, who also serves on the board at the food pantry. He would love to engage with you and help you to connect with the food pantry and how you can volunteer there. So if you want to contact him, his email is Jefferson, that's J-E-F-F-E-R-S-O-N, at HollywoodUMC.org. Don't forget, this week on the Harmony Podcast Network, Rev Jefferson is actually hosting a new episode of Inner Harmony, where we'll be reflecting on the question, have you ever felt wounded by church? So we hope that you'll tune in for that experience this Wednesday on the Harmony Podcast Network. Now, for the last part of today's podcast episode, let's turn to God in worship.
I love.
by the way, I didn't wish you a very happy beginning to the month of March. Woohoo, congratulations. We've made it through most of the winter and into the spring. This is also the beginning of Women's History Month. And one of the things that I love so much about the Methodist Church is that we talk a lot about the work and ministry of women, both in the world, but also in the church. And for me and in my life, I know that women and women that I interacted with at church and the women in my family were really foundational in my faith. And we have some amazing leaders at Harmony who are women that lead out in their faith and invest in others. People like our family ministry director, Julia Dennis, our AV and content director, Donna Miller, and Shauna Carroll from the leadership team, amongst so many other awesome women. And if you want to hear our full Women's History Month moment that we had actually in this past weekend's worship experience, you can visit us on Facebook. Just search for Harmony Toluca Lake, or our handle is at HarmonyTL. And if you scroll down, you'll see that the Women's History Moment from Katrina Bailey, our United Women in Faith president at Harmony and Hollywood UMC, shares a moment close to the beginning of that video. So be sure to check that out. But for now, thank you for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay. This week's guests were Pastor Mark Stevenson and the Harmony Worship Band. And this episode was produced by Donna Miller and hosted by me, Jace Lucas. Sunday Replay is a part of the Harmony Podcast Network from Harmony Toluca Lake, a campus of Hollywood United Methodist Church. Be sure to check us out on Facebook. I gave you that handle earlier. You can also find us on Instagram, where we are at Harmony_TLC. And we'd really appreciate if you could like, rate, comment, subscribe, download, and share this episode. Whatever the platform that you're listening on will let you do to let us know what you thought about what you heard on the podcast today. Next week, Pastor Mark will be back with a new message called Embracing the Margins, as well as a Learn segment as we continue the Good News series of the Lenten season. But until then, as Pastor Mark always likes to say, peace.